Blog Talk Radio.
Day one, Novena two, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Catholic Church dedicates the month of August, which we are very close to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Immaculate Heart is often venerated together with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the devotion we celebrate in June, and with good reason. The month of August is dedicated to the Immaculate Heart. Since the 16th century, Catholic piety has assigned entire months to special devotions. The month of August is traditionally dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It commemorates the joys and sorrows of the Mother of God, her virtues and affections, her love for God and her divine Son, and her compassionate love for mankind. As early as 1643, St. John Eudes and his followers observed 8 February as the feast of the Heart of Mary. About the design, you know, just think about this. You know, the picture, the pictures of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the Chaste Heart of St. Joseph. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is a symbol of Christ's immense love for humanity, with a wound in its side and a crown of thorns representing the damage of our sins. The Immaculate Heart of Mary gives us an example of how we as Christians should love. As Pope Paul VI said, may the Immaculate Heart of Mary shine before the eyes of all Christians as the model of perfect love towards God and toward our fellow beings. May it lead them toward the holy sacraments with virtue, of which souls are cleansed from the stains of sin and are preserved from it. May it also stimulate them to make reparation for the innumerable offenses against the divine majesty. Lastly, may it shine like a banner of unity and a spur to perfect of bonds of brotherhood among all Christians in the bosom of the one Church of Jesus Christ, the Catholic Church, which, taught by the Holy Spirit, honors her with final affection and piety as a most beloved mother. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, heavenly beauty and splendor of the Father, you are the most valued heavenly treasure. New Eve, immaculate in soul, spirit, and body, created of the godly seed by the Spirit of God, you are the spiritual mother of mankind, pure virgin, full of grace. Then and now, your whole being was raised heavenly in full glory to be elevated above all the hosts within the kingdom of God. O Heavenly Mother, Queen of Heaven and Earth, I recognize the glory of your highest title, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Loving Mother, dispenser of endless blessings, you who continuously intercede on our behalf, please present my need before our loving Son, Jesus. Please, as we continue our devotion, we pray for Pope Francis' spiritual intentions. We're still in July, which he's wanting us to remember the elderly. And that is something we should remember, the elderly around us, our loved ones, to remember them. We pray for Christian unity, for Christian families around the world. May they embody and experience unconditional love and advance in holiness in their daily lives. We dedicate this novena to the Immaculate Heart of Mary for all the bishops, priests, deacons, religious, for their continued mission to reach the world for Christ. We pray for the conversion of all of our political figures in government, that they will honor religious freedom and honor life. We pray for all of our first responders, our police officers, EMT medics, paraprofessionals, doctors, nurses, the medical professionals, that they will defend life. We pray for our military, those who are deployed around the world. We pray for the poor souls of purgatory, for the end of abortion and Planned Parenthood. I dedicate this this novena for my wife, for healing, and for my healing as well, and for our family members. For all this coming year, RCIA candidates and catechumens preparing for the next Easter Vigil, we dedicate this novena for America to turn from the paganism and the evil it has been heading towards. We pray for children who are runaways, that they return safely home. So we, Immaculate Heart of Mary, I know that you are now presenting my needs before Jesus, for you have never turned away those in dire need. Most dearest, I await your favorable answer, submitting myself to the divine will of the Lord, for all glories are his forever and ever. Amen. And this is the novena to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. O most blessed Mother, heart of love, heart of mercy, ever listening, caring, consoling, hear our prayer. As your children, we employ your intercession with Jesus, your Son. Receive with understanding and compassion the petitions we place before you today, especially those which I have previously mentioned. We are comforted in knowing your heart is ever open to those who ask for your prayer. We trust to your gentle care and intercession. Those whom we love and who are sick or lonely or hurting, help all of us, Holy Mother, to bear our burdens in this life until we may share eternal life and peace with God forever. This litany was composed by John Henry Cardinal, Cardinal Newman, shortly after he converted to Catholicism in 1845. Let us pray this with reverence and recall the many blessings that have flowed through Mary from Jesus to us. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, hear us. Christ, graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God, the Holy Ghost, have mercy on us. Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy on us. Heart of Mary, pray for us. Heart of Mary, like unto the heart of God, pray for us. Heart of Mary, united to the heart of Jesus, pray for us. Heart of Mary, instrument of the Holy Spirit, pray for us. Heart of Mary, sanctuary of the divine Trinity, pray for us. Heart of Mary, tabernacle of God incarnate, pray for us. Heart of Mary, immaculate from thy creation, pray for us. Heart of Mary, full of grace, pray for us. Heart of Mary, blessed among all hearts, pray for us. Heart of Mary, throne of glory, pray for us. Heart of Mary, most humble, pray for us. Heart of Mary, holocaust of divine love, pray for us. Heart of Mary, fastened to the cross with Jesus crucified, pray for us. Heart of Mary, comfort of the afflicted, pray for us. Heart of Mary, refuge of sinners, pray for us. Heart of Mary, hope of the agonizing, pray for us. Heart of Mary, seat of mercy, pray for us. Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Immaculate Mary, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto the height or heart of Jesus. Let us pray. O most merciful God, who for the salvation of sinners and the refuge of the miserable waste, please that the most pure heart of Mary should be most like in charity and pity to the divine heart of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who commemorate this sweet and loving heart by the merits and intercession of the same Blessed Virgin may merit to be found like unto the heart of Jesus, to the same Christ our Lord. Amen. And the promises attached to the five first Saturday devotion. Number one, salvation of our own soul. To all those who on the first Saturday of five consecutive months fulfill all the conditions requested, I promise to assist them at the hour of death and all the graces necessary for the salvation of their soul. This little devotion, practiced with a good heart, is then enough to procure infallibility for us, ex opere, so to speak, as with the sacraments, the grace of final perseverance of eternal salvation. And this promise is without any exclusion, limitation, restriction to all who I promise heaven for eternity for the five holy communions. Salvation of sinners, number two, salvation of sinners. So numerous are the souls which the justice of God condemns for sins committed against me, that I come to ask for reparation. Sacrifice yourself for this intention and pray. Our Lady to Sister Lucy at Tai, June 13, 1929. In consideration of this little devotion, they, Jesus and Mary, wish to give the grace of pardon to souls who have had the misfortune of offending the Immaculate Heart of Mary, wrote Sister Lucy in a letter of May 1930. Number three, peace to the world, peace in the world. Whether the world has war or peace towards depends on the practice of this devotion. Wow. Let me say that again. Whether the world has war or peace depends on the practice of this devotion, along with the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is why I desire its propagation so ardently, especially because this is also the will of our dear brother, our dear mother in heaven. Sister Lucy, March 19, 1939. The promise made by Our Lady to Lucy on July 13, 1917, that there would be a future manifestation concerning the practice of the five first Saturdays was fulfilled on December 10, 1925. Lucia was then a postulant sister in the Dorothean convent at Toy, Spain. On this occasion, Our Lady appeared together with the child Jesus, who spoke first to Lucia. She said, "Have compassion on the heart of your most holy mother, covered with thorns with which ungrateful men place therein at every moment. While there is no one who does an act of reparation to withdraw them for her." Wow. Our Lady then addressed Lucia as follows. "Behold, my daughter, my heart encircles the thorns with which ungrateful men piece at it every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitude. Give me consolation, you at least, and make known on my behalf that I promise to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary for salvation for all for who on the first Saturday of five consecutive months confess their sins, receive Holy Communion, recite 5 decades of the Rosary, and keep me company for 15 minutes meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary with the purpose of making reparation to my Immaculate Heart. So you got 1, confession, 2, receive Holy Communion, 3, devout recitation of the Rosary with meditation, and 4, with the intention of making reparation. Wow. And so, this is a beautiful, beautiful dedication.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
From man's earliest days, he has looked to the heavens for a being superior to himself. In the earliest annals of history, we find the results of this search. Zeus, chief of the gods of ancient Greece, who ruled by thunderbolt. Mars, the Roman god of war. Apollo, Thor, and other gods and goddesses that you'd better not cross if you know what's good for you. Then, gradually, from a single nation, emerges a god unlike any of the others that man had crafted for himself. This god didn't rule over man with an iron hand, but with a tender, sacred heart. He held out his hand in love to his creation, going so far as to sacrifice himself in atonement for the sins of mankind. The Greeks even had a name for him. They called this god the Unknown God, and even erected a temple to him. Years later, St. Paul would formally introduce him. And that is exactly why the Catholic Defender is here. Your host represents an unbroken line of succession to the apostles of the one called Jesus, the only one whose mercy and compassion overflows any container that tries to contain it. This is a God you really want to meet. We're here to make the introduction. This God is a God of judgment. However, first and foremost, he is a God of mercy and compassion. He won't turn you away. He holds out his hand in divine mercy to you and everyone. He loves you as you are, but he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. He'll forgive your sin, not condone it. So what are we waiting for? Let's meet your host, Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, one with answers to your most pressing questions. Now, here's Don Hartley.
The Immaculate Conception points. The Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Immaculate Conception points to the defeat of the powers of darkness. Saint Teresa of Avila in 1515, where she lived between 1515 through 1582, encouraged Christians in her day, instructing us, when the devil wants to remind us of our past, that we can remind him of his future. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 states, then he, Jesus, will say to those at his left hand, depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's one appointment I personally want to avoid. That is why I so closely want to be identified with Jesus Christ and our Holy Mother, the Virgin Mary. That is a great sign of providence. Deeper Truth member, the late Judy Alciator shared the following story on of the Rosary on our Deeper Truth radio show. Pearl Harbor, December 7th, and the Holy Eucharist, aired December 7th, 2016. The focus of the show was about the courage of Father Aloysius Schmidt, who selflessly gave his life in saving others. The Rosary stops a serial killer, 1978, at 3 o'clock a.m. on January 15th. Bundy entered the Chi Omega sorority house at Florida State University and murdered two girls before heading off to search for more victims. When he entered a third girl's room with a bat for a weapon, he saw a rosary clutched in her hand, dropped the bat, and fled. Later, the girl told authorities that before she left for college, she had promised her grandmother that she would pray the rosary every night for protection, even if she fell asleep in the process. This is what she had done that night, and she was still holding the rosary in her hand when the murderer entered her room. Bundy later confessed to over 30 murders. Father Joseph M. Esper says in his book, With Mary to Jesus. He says, I quote, "Ironically, when Ted Bundy was on death row awaiting execution for his crimes, he asked Monsignor Kerr to serve as a spiritual counselor, and the priest took the opportunity to ask about that terrible night. Bundy explained that when he entered the girl's room, he had fully intended on murdering her. Some mysterious power was preventing him." Father Esper adds, "And not only does it, the rosary, aid our spiritual, it also undermines the kingdom of Satan." The famous Vatican exorcist, Father Gabriel Amorth, testified, "One day, a colleague of mine heard the devil say during an exorcism, 'Every Hail Mary is like a blow on my head. If Christians knew how powerful the rosary was, it would be my end.'" Wow. Pray the rosary daily for protection and to defeat the forces of Satan. The battle between the woman, the Virgin Mary, can be found in the 12th chapter of Revelation. Verse 17 tells it all. "Then the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea." It was 27 January 2007 while serving in Iraq. I had been out with the scouts as we went to a number of villages looking for weapons. That had been a long day that was very beneficial to us as we were able to find weapons and get some key information. Once we returned back to base, I was able to take off and go to a scheduled class I was prepared to give. The following is what I wrote on the Defenders of the Catholic Faith message board. "Beginning this morning, I was outside the wire on mission and didn't get back until after 1800 hours. I was in full battle rattle when I got to my room and grabbed my computer and speaker system and made my way to the division chapel, which was about a mile away. I had to go by foot. I got there to find Father was there with the RCI class, which was real glad I was able to get there. Even though I was 45 minutes late, everyone stayed the whole time to watch the DVD on Mary that I shared. That was so cool. A non-denominational preacher happened to be in another room, became interested in the subject matter. So after I dismissed the class, we talked for another hour. It was a good night of RCIA action. As I walked back to my unit, it was nighttime, very dark. I heard the explosions in the distance, the gunfire. I reflected on some of the questions covered at this evening class. I have soldiers who were raised as Mormons, Church of Christ, Lutherans, Anglicans, Seventh-day Adventists, Baptists, non-denominational, Pentecostals, former Catholics, and non-believers. They had various opinions based from what they were raised, so their questions are very interesting as they were all sharing their journey to the Catholic faith. In one way, it reminded me of the first Christians who were baptized that first day, Acts chapter 2, 41. St. Luke writes, "Those who accepted his, St. Peter's, message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day." I thought it was cool that we were continuing the work that Christ commissioned the church to do. The teaching of Mary, on Mary, was tonight's main discussion, and the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, which relates to her Immaculate Heart, which was the main issue.
what a great reflection of the love of God, and I continued to walk my journey back to my room. I thought of Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head while you strike at his heel, her heel, their heel. Depends on how you interpret that. I thought about that for a while. Certainly God knew who this woman was when he told Satan this forewarning prophecy. As I thought about this text, this woman cannot be Eve, as I've heard some think, because her offspring did not conquer the serpent. Mary's did. Mary's son did. It was Jesus who conquered sin and death. St. Paul wrote, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor death, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans chapter 8, verse 38. I felt that the Virgin Mary was the only one who could be the woman of Genesis 3:15. St. John really presents a chapter in Revelations based on Genesis 3:15. Revelation chapter 12 represents the woman, the serpent, the dragon, and the offspring, the child Jesus. This is the belief of the early church fathers and the constant teaching of the Catholic Church. Resting in this truth, my heart just came alive. I continued to reflect on the Immaculate Conception, remembering that Gabriel was sent to tell Mary that she was the woman, this woman. This is very important. Compare the appearance of Gabriel to the Virgin Mary with when the angel appeared to St. John. Revelation chapter 22, verse 8, St. John writes, "It is I, John, who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brothers, prophets, and of those who keep the message of this book. Worship God.'" I thought about how St. John was with Jesus for 3 years, learning and learning the Lord's teaching at first hand. He was one of the 12, yet he lost himself with the appearance of the angel. Compare this with Mary's response to Gabriel. An angel, the angel first greets Mary with, "Hail, full of grace, kakeratomene. The Lord is with you." Luke chapter 1:28. And I recall the original Greek, kakeratomene, means having been or have already been graced. Mary is full of grace, a past perfect participle. Because God knew who the woman of Genesis 3:15 would be at the appointed time, God prepared the Virgin Mary from her very beginning to be the mother of Jesus. This does not mean that she didn't need Jesus. She absolutely did. It is when she was free of original sin. It is a singular grace by God to the Virgin Mary that benefits all mankind. She was protected by God from the devil from the moment of her conception. St. John writes, "When the dragon saw that it had been thrown to the earth, it pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child, Jesus. But the woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she could fly to her place in the desert where, far from the serpent, she was taken care of for a year, 2 years, and a half year. The serpent, however, spewed a torrent of water out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with the current. But the earth helped the woman and opened its mouth and swallowed the flood with the dragon became angry with the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring.
those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus. Revelation chapter 12, 13 through 17. The Virgin Mary appears to St. Catherine Laboure in 1830, giving us the miraculous medal. That shows Mary standing on the moon and the devil under her feet. St. Augustine said, since the devil is the head of original sin, this head it was that Mary crushed, for sin never had any entry into the soul of this blessed virgin, which was consequently free from all stain. As I kept thinking about this, I just wanted to reach out to God and thank him, even in this place. He has given us so much. I couldn't help thinking of Our Lady of Lourdes. The Virgin Mary appeared to St. Bernadette Subaru, identifying herself, I am the Immaculate Conception. I thought of the wonders God had worked at Lourdes, that even today miracles are happening. I understand that several thousand people go to Lourdes, France every day from around the world. God promised us signs and wonders through his presence among his church. As I walked into our orderly room, I checked in so they would know I was accounted for. I stopped in talking with the duty personnel, and I was overjoyed from all that I was involved in this night. I could still hear mortar fire in the distance, machine gun fire, sporadic. Every now and then, a real loud explosion. Yet, it could not dampen my spirit. I dedicated my prayer for those who were in the midst of the fight. In looking back, what a blessing it was to participate in the journey of so many people wanting to become Catholic despite the danger we lived. I was consoled with this truth. You belong to God, children, and you have conquered them. For the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. 1 John chapter 4:4. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Fired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come, and before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, the mercy of the Queen of Heaven, hear and answer me. Amen. Amen. And amen.